Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on the Everything app at jwright929. You can always listen to us on the radio dial 929 FM 680 AM. If you're away from the radio dial and you want to keep listening, you can do so on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can also check us out over on the TuneIn Radio app, the iHeart Radio app. We also have live streams running over on YouTube, Twitch, and X, the Everything app. It is all happening on X. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app. Good day, George.
Good afternoon, sir. Happy draft day to you, and happy draft day to all.
Happy National Booing Roger Goodell Day. And again, remember, he totally doesn't care. He loves the boos, welcomes the boos. Yet, in Detroit, he tried to bring out Eminem to start the festivities so that he wouldn't get booed. I'll be curious to see if he...
Who in Pittsburgh? Who's the yinzer?
Not Big Ben.
Definitely not Big Ben. Who's the yinzer that can help him out there?
Does it have to be, like, pure yinzer, or does it need to be a Steelers great? Like, Lynn Swann's always a safe choice.
Yeah,
everybody true. Likes Lynn.
Troy. Polamalu wanted
to
do it.
Troy maybe. Would be probably a good option. Probably have to go in that vein, right?
I think you'd probably have to go in that vein.
Skeens, maybe? Are they in town?
I don't. Actually, that's
I would
a
think
great
they're
going to
lean into. I would think they would lean into
Steelers.
Probably
not
the Steelers.
Pirates are. Are they in Texas?
I would think they're out of town for this because apparently Pittsburgh's like shut down.
Yeah, I think they're at the Rangers. So they're in Arlington.
Yeah, that would not surprise me. Let's welcome to the program. He writes about college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. He's on the Everything app at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Good day to you, Jeffrey. How's it going?
Oh, man, it goes. Just trying to sort through, you know, another day of the fears of the Nashville Grizzlies or maybe the Memphis Grizzlies?
Just to be clear, the show is originating from Memphis today, right? You're not going to start doing two or three shows a year in Nashville, right? Just to expand your network, right? You're not going to do that, are you?
Cobb, I'm committed to the city of Memphis.
Yeah, but don't you think it'd be great just two or three shows a year? That's it. You know, Nashville's a growing market.
Cobb, I'm committed to the city of Memphis.
Okay. It's great to hear. Can you get an arena deal done?
No. And we will sort through all of this because, Cobb, I went full, like, research paper mode today.
Okay, good.
So I got some facts and figures because I'd like to sort through all this because it does seem like any time that Nashville enters the equation, it elicits a reaction from the city. And I'm not dumb. I've lived here my whole life. I get it.
Well, hold on. You haven't lived here your whole life. You did take 4 years to attend the Notre Dame of the Church of Christ out west.
Correct. And then 18 months in Winston. And then basically 3 years grad school down in Oxford, like grad school and first year employment. Okay.
I think if you're attending college, Ole Miss, you're almost a part of the metropolitan area.
Yeah. It is weird though. Like just 60 miles really does. Like there's a very different vibe.
You know, it's funny growing up. I never went to Oxford. I went to Starkville. Like my parents, I don't think they wanted me to go to Ole Miss because they of the perception of like a party school. But they were like, "Yeah, let's go visit Mississippi State. Let's go check out Starkville," because I think there was like a different perception around it. And so, like in my mind, I was probably like a senior in high school before I even realized that Oxford was literally barely an hour from like Collierville.
Oh yeah, the farther east you go, it's I mean you can get there probably under an hour if you know how to avoid certain speed traps. Okay, so we'll talk about this. Might even get some of you to weigh in. We will also get into some college football news. We'll get into the list during hour number two. Talk about the NBA playoffs and more. Jason Smith's going to join us. during the bottom part of hour number two. We'll also talk NFL draft, including, the Vrabel Rossini story.
I was waiting on it.
Keeps getting worse.
I don't know who was in charge of Rossini's initial response. I'm leaning towards there was no crisis management team.
Yeah.
I think it might have been an in-house operation.
Like, hey, I can handle this on my own because these new photos suggest that she's been handling this stuff for years.
Correct. And I think it opens up a lot of other interesting questions. So we'll get into that during hour number three. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But going back to certainly the news of the day yesterday, in an appearance on Pardon My Take, Adam Silver said the following. Memphis has been a great market historically for the NBA, and there is an amazing history in that city and an amazing culture. There is no reason why the Memphis Grizzlies can't be successful. He also noted that Robert Parra has no interest in moving the team out of Memphis. He's made that clear. In regards to Nashville, Nashville is a city on the rise. There's incredible things happening there. And if it were up to me, I would love for them to play a few games a year in Nashville and sort of be Tennessee's team to the extent that they can. So, I guess I'll start with you. When you first saw the clip, heard the answer, your reaction was?
Okay, so there's the initial relief of hearing the NBA commissioner say, not only in his opinion are the Grizzlies not moving, but that through conversations with Robert Parra, that's also been verified, right? That's reassuring. But then,
to emphasize your point, I think it's the first time we've had something that definitive from Adam Silver.
Yes, but then the aftertaste is games in Nashville? What? Why would they do that? It is 25 years too late to try and market the Grizzlies as Tennessee's team. On the one hand, I understand the thought. Yeah, it is a booming metropolis 3 hours to the east, but suggesting that the Grizzlies could in any way ingratiate or become the state's team, I mean, that ship has been sailed for a quarter century. I mean, look at the Titans. They tried to be Tennessee's team. I mean, you got what? Maybe 5% of like Memphians who follow the NFL would say that they're diehard Titans fans. It didn't work.
So obviously that one's complicated in itself. The whole reason behind the Tennessee Titans initially was that was how they were able to sell the entire state funding the stadium. Then you have the Bud Adams of it all, which is when they were playing here in Memphis and he was crapping all over it and then calling them Memphanites, it was never going to get off the ground running. I do think there's a larger Titans contingency than I don't think it's like it was, say, in 2005, where basically the general sweeping stance was, I'm not rooting for them.
Well, here is where I went with Gabe yesterday on this. It's the idea of, like I said, reassuring to get some high-level reassurance that the Grizzlies are staying put in Memphis. But the idea that you would play games in Nashville, would you let your girlfriend or your wife or your significant other, I mean, maybe unless you have some arrangement, right? Would you say, yeah, sure, honey, you can go out to dinner alone with your best.
Yeah, Diana, you can go out with Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, like you're just asking for trouble. You're just asking for trouble when you let the Grizzlies away from FedEx Forum. I mean, not to mention the economic impact. We all know, you know, the downtown is trying so hard to come back right now, and it's been a struggle. Okay, well, you take away two or three nights of Beale Street having patrons and the downtown area, all the part-time arena employees, all the staff, all the restaurants, you know, all the revenue that's generated from having 15,000 people downtown. You take that away for a couple nights. One, that's going to have an impact. And then two, oh, yeah, oh, wow, can you believe it? Bridgestone Arena sold out for these NBA games with the Grizzlies. Oh, my gosh. Well, you keep doing that arrangement for 5, 6, 7 years. Well, then all of a sudden it gets a little bit easier, doesn't it? You look up, you're Memphis. Well, maybe there was no intention in 2026 of moving the team, but you have this arrangement for 5 or 6 years. Well, you look up in the 2030s and, my goodness, Nashville sold out for all of these NBA games. Meanwhile, Memphis struggles to sell out. Well, no duh. One, there's the novelty factor of, like, we have an NBA game in our city. Two, there's the population factor of there's just more people there. So the novelty, the population, yeah, if you play 2 or 3 games a year there, they're going to sell out. And then in the 2030s, all of a sudden, it's become a lot easier to revisit that discussion around the permanent location of the team, right? That's why I don't even think you go there. I don't know. It's a slippery slope. You let her go out to dinner with that guy from college one time. It's just innocent. They're just catching up. It's just reminiscing on the college days. There's no harm in that. Why are you being territorial or jealous, right? Well, then 5, 6 years later, of them going out to dinner all the time, well, what do you know? A little spark has been kindled, right? And then the next thing you know, you're getting served papers. I just don't want to get on that slippery slope of seeing the Grizzlies go play games somewhere else. To me, it's just a no-go, absolute no-go.
All right. Is this letting your wife go out with her college boyfriend? Or is this having your daughter marry the prince of the country that you've been at war with for 2 centuries?
take me deeper into your thinking. I think I like where you're going.
Okay, so to your point, there's a lot of questions that matter and need to be answered. Number one, how many games are we talking about? And also, what games are we talking about? Like, are we giving them a Lakers game?
Give them Utah.
Like, well, I mean, like,
give
this
Utah, yeah.
And the reason why I also point this out, because this has been a Cerrito, this has been a Cerrito point of contingency, which is this was the worst home schedule in the history of the Grizzlies. And it makes you go, why? Is this self-sabotage? Is this the league wanting to do something? Because, number one, Grizzlies and Warriors, I believe, were here once apiece. They had no MLK game, a game that they invented, and they had the Europe trip.
Right.
So, in terms of getting people in the building, the league did no favors. Do I really believe that there was some type of intelligent design that was trying to nuke this? No, I do not. However, I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, well, the league is helping them. You know what I mean? Because I don't think that's the case. All right, so then it brings us to what do I mean by having my daughter marry the prince of, let's just say, I'm French and my daughter's marrying the King of England, or the Prince of England, Prince of Wales, that is in line to be the throne. And I'm trying to make peace with the Brits and the English. Why do we make peace? We don't make peace with allies. We make peace with people that are usually combatants when we'd not like to have combatants, because there's a pretty good through line of war doesn't help everybody. Times of peace are when you make the money. So is this making peace with Nashville? And the other reason why you, in theory, why you marry off your daughter is you take a threat off of the board. I can also, using my France example, I can hold the Brits at bay, and now I can go and battle the Germans or the Prussians.
Or you give them, I get it. I think that's a nuanced way of looking at it. That is well reasoned. All right. I'm not coming after you for it, but you're also giving them a foothold. You're also giving your enemies
so
a foothold.
This is where context matters. And I'm with you entirely. So I'm looking at what's on the board. Okay. Let's play out the idea that this is letting a fox in the hen house, which I want to be very clear. Let's not act like that's a 0.0% chance. Okay, but let's play it out. We know the Titans are building new Nissan Stadium, and the original price tag's 2.1. Based on everything I've ever read about building a stadium, that bad boy ain't coming in under budget. So let's go $2.5 billion. Okay?
You're trying to get some money for the forum here. Is that what you're doing?
I'm trying. Hang in there. I ain't done yet. The Major League Baseball is most likely, now that whenever we get the A's moved to Vegas, the next step for Major League Baseball is almost assuredly expansion, not relocation. The White Sox have a new ownership. They bought a piece of land where they're going to build their new stadium, so that takes someone off the board. George's Rays have a new owner that is pot committed. They've already released the renderings of a new stadium in Tampa. The Rays are good to go. I suppose you still have the Reds out there, but, man, you want to talk about – I mean, we're talking about one of the most historic franchises in Major League Baseball and taking them out of Cincinnati. I feel like they get that done. Okay? So I still think expansion's most likely. I believe this to be true. Nashville is almost a certainty to get one of those teams. They will expand by two, most likely. The coin flip becomes Salt Lake or Portland. My money right now is...
Imagine how many home runs there would be hitting Salt Lake. I digress.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of where my money is, because they seem to be aggressively expanding. So
that's a hitter's ballpark, too.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah.
That ball's going to fly out of there. Okay. The Royals yesterday released the renderings of their new stadium. Now, it includes an entertainment district and whatnot, so it's not just price tag for the stadium. But that number's about $1.7 billion. Nashville will not be breaking ground on a stadium tomorrow, so let's go ahead and pencil in $2 billion for a new baseball stadium.
So we got darn near $5 billion in stadium projects coming to Nashville.
Now, let's go to the arena. Bridgestone Arena, which has had hundreds of millions of dollars poured into it, was built to bring the Predators. Secondly, Bridgestone Arena is one of the top five most years concert venues in the country.
Concerts, SEC basketball tournament, random neutral site basketball games, you name it.
Usually in a given year, around 100-plus events. Also, based on my understanding of a calendar, hockey and basketball season overlaps. There is not going to be the reality of we can just seamlessly put them in. And we haven't even gotten to the politics of it all. Most likely, you're going to have to build a new arena, and then you're going to have to sit there and deal with, not before we get to the state politics, are the people that own Bridgestone going to be cool with that? Because I assume that's going to also be a concert venue. You get into all these other complications in which is building an arena for 41 basketball games really wise? And that conclusion, in my opinion, is going to be no. So while on paper you could look at it that, man, what leverage does Memphis have here? I don't think this is as simple as Nashville. I don't think Nashville's in this position where they want NBA, they can make it happen. Furthermore, we kind of got publicly tipped off to this. Remember when TMZ got the Nashville mayor on the record after the LeBron comments? He kind of even floated essentially the same thing that Adam Silver said, which had also been going on behind the scenes for at least a couple of months.
So what's the equalizer then in this scenario?
So the equalizer to me, though, is furthermore, make peace and maybe you get something out of it. Maybe better relationships with Nashville, better relationships with the people in Nashville. Maybe that gets you more money. You're making a concession because right now, when you initially got the money for the renovations, it was essentially going to be gutting the arena. And the, I mean, it was basically, you were going to keep the outside structure basically the same, but you were going to have a brand new interior of your arena. Pandemic happens, building costs go through the roof. Now you're sitting here with this pile of money, which doesn't allow you to do what you initially intended, which was essentially completely rebuilding the interior of your arena, flipping the lower and upper bowl capacities, making it much more of a bigger lower bowl, smaller upper deck, and trying to do that. Well, now that's kind of off the table, and now you're even going into this phased approach. And spoiler alert for when you hear phased, expensive. Because one thing we know for certain, a dollar today is going to be worth more than a dollar tomorrow. So the price tag's only going to go up the more and more you keep pushing it off.
So let's, all right, in your scenario then, the Nashville has made its peace with the fact that it will not be having a permanent NBA franchise in its city for the litany of reasons that you lay out, but they still want
the presence.
A presence. Okay, so you
the attraction. I mean, Nashville loves their attractions. It's an attraction.
Concede two or three games to Nashville. All right. So is it $230 million currently coming from the state? Right? Are we going to say, hey, you pay for the whole project and we'll let you have two or three games? I mean, like, is that what we're going for here? We take the onus off of the city of Memphis. We take the onus off of the FedEx or the whoever the private investors would be in a revamped FedEx forum.
Yes.
And we put the onus on the state of Tennessee, or I mean, I can't see the city of Nashville.
No, it's definitely on the state of Tennessee. But if you've got people in Nashville that are working on your behalf, it's a lot easier to get it done. And so, and necessarily, it doesn't have to be strictly for having better renderings for what your arena plan is. But what if those relationships help you get more money for investing in the infrastructure around the city? And furthermore, the idea that the idea of being a regional or the state's team is just something that popped up out of thin air. I mean, Cobb, this has always been a target. It's no different than the golf tournament, and it's no different from the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies would like to be a regional team, and having people coming in from Nashville, having people coming in from Birmingham, having people come in from St. Louis. Now, it's fair to point out, hey, man, like, you're not going to play in Birmingham for home games. You're not playing in St. Louis. Like, I understand all of that, but the other key difference is you need the relationship with Nashville in order to get money. That's where they went initially to lobby and get the state money for the renovations. And furthermore, I do not think it is a bad thing. This was an idea that you proposed, I want to say maybe last summer. Remember when we were spitballing on what are ways to get tourism up? And your thought was, hey man, get the mommy influencers and get them writing and talking and vlogging about Memphis. Giving people in Nashville a reason to actually come here and like it is only a net positive.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not quite persuaded yet, but you're making good points.
All right, the ultimate one? This is where I always find myself going, am I the crazy person? Which maybe is the case. Y'all, San Antonio already does this. San Antonio, starting in 2022, plays two games in Austin every single year. They did it in the 22-23 season, the 23-24 season, the 24-25, 25-26. And it does not have any intentions of stopping. While San Antonio is certainly,
it's more firmly entrenched. The franchise is more firmly entrenched.
Okay, but what else do they have? They don't have a lease for their new building. They want a new arena. Furthermore, Austin, the capital of Texas, while San Antonio's SMSA area is bigger, Austin is a lot richer. The GDP of Austin is about $250 billion. The GDP of San Antonio is $180 billion. Yet, there's no panic and uproar in San Antonio. And I do understand your point. Well, there's a little bit more of a fabric, but it's these situations rhyme a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So with the way Texas is, like, the sprawl of San Antonio and the sprawl of Austin are 10 years away from almost meeting.
If you've ever done the drive basically from Winston, Greensboro, Raleigh, like, it's all like highway and it's just kind of becoming one thing.
That's what's happening there in Texas.
Correct. But the Spurs don't want them to be the Austin Spurs.
They actually already are the Austin Spurs.
That's true. They have the Texas Spurs.
Are they the states?
Or the I-35 Spurs.
So we're going to rename the franchise the Interstate 40 Grizzlies.
Yeah, the I-40 Grizz.
All right. Well, I'm going to need some more stuff for Memphis, though, in this deal. Like, other than, like, obviously, okay, a better financial situation. We grease the palms a little bit with the money changers in Nashville, and we get them to agree to funnel more money to the FedEx Forum project. That's fantastic. Like, if we're going to go this route, that has to be part of the deal. But I think we should also kind of be strategic about the games that we put there, because I think the novelty in and of itself of an NBA regular season game being played in Nashville will be more than enough. So to George's point, maybe not the Jazz, because we want Jaren to play in Memphis. So as long as he's there, I want the Jazz to come to Memphis at least once a year. But you name it, irrelevant Eastern Conference franchise.
You can have the Wizards. You can have the Wizards game.
Sure. And then let's maybe do this. Let's maybe make what would be a road trip to Atlanta to play the Hawks then become a de facto neutral site game in Nashville. And we can alternate every year. So each team loses a home game every year, but you're not losing one every single year. Atlanta versus Memphis just becomes a game that's played in Nashville. So there, only every other year are you losing a home gate and the home, you know, whatever. And then let's do this. We need a Nashville SC game at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. All right. Or we need a Titans preseason game at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. We need some sort of actual sports related entertainment trade-off coming back west on I-40 if we're going to sell our goods off to the city of Nashville.
Correct. And this is kind of the larger point that I've been making. I think this is somewhat of a negotiation. Like, in the end, we have a couple of things that they want. All right? These home games. And can I also throw out a couple other stipulations I'd like about the games?
Please.
You can have the Friday and Sunday, or the Saturday and Sunday football season games.
For sure.
Like, you want that October 21st home game?
But take the Grizzlies away on a night when the Memphis Tigers have a home football game.
Sure.
Something along those lines.
Sure. Have at it. So, I guess the larger point that I'm making is the details matter on this. Now, if we get into a situation where more and more comes out and we find out they're playing 10 games there, well, now all of a sudden we got a discussion, because 2 to 4 home games a year is a very different thing than a fourth of your home schedule. Also, how does that going to work from a season ticket perspective?
Right. Yeah, so if you're going to have a, you know, what they should do, another option here for the Grizzlies would be, okay, let's say it's 3 regular season games in Nashville. We'll offer the Nashville contingent a 5-game package that's only slightly more expensive than just getting the 3 games that are actually going to be in Nashville. And then the other, you know, then they've got tickets for 2 games in Memphis, right?
I mean, furthermore, I'd take your idea. Okay, let's use, give them 2 games a year. All right? I also presume the fewer games you give them, the more likely you are to give up a good one. I would imagine that's how it's going to work. The higher the number, you might be able to negotiate the teams that are going there. The lower the number, you're probably giving up a Lakers game. Okay, but let's say you give them 2 a year and some preseason games on top of that. All right, now you're going to have 39 home games, regular season. What a fantastic opportunity to sit there and go, Cobb, what is 39 divided by 3?
13, right?
How about creating, in addition to normal season ticket packages, we have 3 separate 13-game power packs. And start building your fan base that way. And to your idea, you can also include the Nashville package for Nashville area residents. In addition to your 2 games, you get 3 games of your choice in FedEx form. I understand the mechanics of all this get complicated, but listen, people, you're in the ticket selling business. I trust you. You can figure this out. It's not an impossible task of figuring it out. And now you start incentivizing people to come here, incentivizing people to stay in hotels that aren't good enough for LeBron, but might be good enough for you and me. And God knows they might have a nice time. And it might change their opinion. And it might help build up some morale. And it might help boost some tourism. And it might help, God forbid, bring some more money here.
Yeah. My fears will not be entirely relieved by any of this. Could it work? Yes. I just come back to the fear of 5-6 years down the line, Nashville's growth isn't slowing down.
Where do the Buffalo Bills play?
Huh?
Where do the Buffalo Bills play?
Buffalo, New York.
What city is nicer, richer, bigger? Buffalo or Toronto?
You really think American football would work in Canada?
American basketball does. American baseball does.
Canadian football kind of does. Close enough to the same thing.
They played 7 home games in 5 years in Toronto. And by the way, this is when they did it, the football stadium in Buffalo was still more outdated than the basketball arena in Memphis. Would you rather be Orange County's team? You have experience. You lived out there for 3 months, 4 months.
Go Angels.
Criminally underrated ballpark.
I saw Shohei Ohtani pitch there. It was great.
I swear to God, you could like drop your hot dog, pick it up, and it was cleaner. Like it was like the cleanest stadium I've ever seen in my entire life.
You literally dropped into a 40,000 space parking lot. But aside from that,
yeah, no, great. But plenty of parking, plenty of parking. Would you rather be the 3rd tenant in Staples Center, or perhaps be Orange County's team? Well, the Clippers chose to be the 3rd tenant in Staples Center, and by the way, a lot more money down in Orange County. Like, Green Bay versus Milwaukee. The Packers played on average at least 3 games a year, basically for 40 years in Milwaukee. They're still in Green Bay. Like, just because you start doing this arrangement does not mean that you're just greasing the tires for the eventual move.
Okay. I applaud you, man. Like, I didn't think I'd be talked off of this to the extent that I have been. Like, I'm still not completely sold. I got it. Like, it's got to be, you got to be dug in on this if you're going to do it in terms of what do we get.
Oh,
like, there's
got to
gotta,
clear,
there's gotta be a payoff. Right?
To be clear, I want a good attorney, and I'm getting things in writing. And I don't know if it has to be public, but whatnot. Like, I am viewing this as an opportunity more so than a threat.
I think it's got to be a long, long, long-term lease agreement. It can't be a 5 or 10 year lease agreement when the new arena deal gets done. Like, to me, there's got to be a 20-year security there.
I think that is the other part of this story, too. In the end, the reason why we are in this position is somewhat short-sighted and somewhat unlikely or unlucky. What is unlucky is the amount of money that you went to the state to get and secured. At the time that you secured it, it was enough of a war chest to redo your arena in a fashion that would essentially have made the negotiations very quick. Essentially, you're getting a brand new arena. They'll sign the long-term lease. That's horribly unlucky that you have the pandemic and building costs are what they are, and you saw this increase in the amount of money that it takes to build an arena go through the roof. The short-sightedness also, though, is a lot of the power brokers kind of wanting to throw their name around and not getting serious on this sooner and not getting the thing done and figuring out what it took to get done. And whether or not it's ego, whether or not it was feeling like maybe he didn't have the money, like, the reality is, like, they didn't get it done.
Every year you kick the can down
Correct.
The road further on a stadium project, you're
Correct.
Talking another minimum 100K bump on what the current tag is for
Oh,
this project.
No, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. I think you're tacking millions on every single time. And furthermore, like, you could have shown more urgency. Like, the one person I do feel a little bad for in this is, like, Paul Young, because I do think Paul Young knows this. But it's at the point now where, to your point, by continually kicking it down the road and down the road, well, then it kept getting more and more serious, and then you lost more and more leverage.
Well, the unfortunate reality is there was too much that needed to be done at once. The Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium project needed to be done, very costly. Trying to keep 901 FC. You remember there were proposals for a soccer exclusive stadium at the fairgrounds.
The only renderings we ever saw for at least like a year or two.
Yeah, that was going to be exceedingly costly. Renovations need to get done at AutoZone Park. Very expensive, massive project that needs to get done at the FedEx Forum, not only for the Grizzlies, but, you know, also for the home court of the Memphis Tigers. That was a lot that needed to get done, you know, at one time. And the Forum thing fell by the wayside. Meanwhile, the football stadium took precedent, maybe with the hope that this brand new, sparkly, renovated, glitzy stadium would help get you into the Big 12, which would, for all eternity, or at least for the near future, solve a lot of the issues we're currently seeing with the Memphis Athletic Department. That didn't work. Like, it didn't work. It certainly hasn't yet. So, like, yeah, it'll be great to be in that stadium. Like, don't get me wrong. It's going to be fantastic. But it hasn't accomplished the primary goal of what I think Memphis hoped it would to this point. So you had too many multi-hundred million dollar type of sports projects that needed to get done at a time when, you know, the city has other needs, right? And now you're in this situation. But, I mean, you've talked me into listening. You've talked me into listening. So good job, man. Like, I legitimately came into this conversation thinking there was no way on this green earth that, you know, you would ever concede any number of home games to Nashville. I'm still not 100% sold, but if you can, if they can sweeten the pot enough to where it makes sense for the Grizzlies, then I think, you know,
well, and like your idea, like, get me some, the university owns the stadium now. Like you said, give me some Nashville, get me a Nashville FC, even if it's like, let's be real, like if it's their summer league, like the preseason, like get me some events.
Oh, I think they'd be super well attended. Like, I think, you know, the 901 FC didn't do great, but I think for the same reason the Grizzlies would sell out in an instant in Nashville.
Well,
on a
901
scale.
FC was rocking, and then the pandemic happened, and post pandemic when it came back, it was like everyone was just like, I'm good. Yeah. And also, this is not an intended consequence. I don't hate the idea of kind of lighting a fire under our ass. We're a city that you give us a chance to kind of kick back on the couch, yours truly included, we will do it. Having a little bit of motivation, having maybe at least, even if she's not flirting, if we're using your analogy, just the threat of her going out again with her college boyfriend
might make you go to the gym once or twice.
That makes you put down the second barbecue sandwich. Maybe not the worst thing.
Might get fresh flowers in the house, you know?
Yeah, all of a sudden we're mixing in a salad occasionally.
Woo!
Maybe that Mother's Day gift gets a little nicer this year.
Yeah. You know what? I will pass on that piece of pie this time. Like, you know what? Like, I'm not saying it's the worst thing. All right, am I an idiot? Do you have the reservations Cobb do? Tell me how you feel. 901-445-0929. 901-445-0929. Taking your calls on this very topic when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. You've heard from Cobb and you've heard from me our thoughts on the news that Adam Silver would perhaps like to see the Grizzlies play a couple of games in Nashville. Now we want to hear from you. The phone number is 901-445-0929. If you want to weigh in, you can do so. We welcome to the program Nick in downtown. Nick, what's on your mind?
Oh, not much. I mean, y'all pretty much hit it nail on the head. I'd be fine with, like, some, you know, if they want to do some preseason games there or, you know, like you said, Wizards or Jazz or whoever else. But, I mean, as much money as they're talking about giving the city, I don't know what all is, like, confirmed. I know they're talking about some extra for, like, the public safety.
Yeah, the downtown, the infrastructure, things around downtown. I think lighting is a big concern. But, like, my idea is also, like, hey, man, if these relationships can help you convince some outside investors, because the one thing that, you know, you always notice – when you look downtown, as you live downtown, look at the signs of whenever people build something. It's always local real estate people. Like, if you have to start bringing in, you know, if this gives you the opportunity to bring in some other people to develop the area, like, I don't view that as a bad thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, downtown's getting a lot of good, you know, a lot of good places to eat. And, I mean, just bars in general. And we're trying, man. But, you know, it's just... kind of difficult when, you know, you got, you know, just all the negativity and stuff, and Memphis is already negative enough, man. They don't need any outside factors contributing to that. So yeah, I think it's a good thing. You know, people are going to disagree, but that's the way it is.
Appreciate the phone call, Nick. Yeah, it is interesting, Cobb, as someone else born and raised here. We don't do the middle very well. We swing so far in extremes. Like, we either go way too negative on ourselves, or, like, sometimes, like, kind of in, like, the mid-2010s, like, we might go a little too far. You know what I mean? Like, and pumping ourselves up. Like, we don't do well with staying in, like, in the mid.
Oh, I mean, I remember when I around the time I left for college, I graduated high school in 2011. This is when you were starting to see all the choose 901 propaganda. And I mean, for the first couple of years, I just roll in my eyes, like, seriously, like what? And then eventually, you know, you get on board.
Oh yeah, no, it's infectious. Yeah, no, then well, it also became cool to be here, like be from here. So like that was also a new experience for us. Let's go to Rodney in East Memphis. Rodney, how are you feeling about this topic?
Listen, man, I'm a Memphian, born and raised, been to the military, been in combat, all that stuff. But you know what? Memphis need to get over that ideology that we can't root for national teams or other teams. We are one state. I have no problem in the Grizzlies going and playing in Nashville. It should have been happening all along because you build your fan base. You build a more loyal fan base, and that equates to more money.
You're preaching to the choir here, Rodney. We appreciate the phone call.
All right.
Now, again, I do go back to the other point. The details do matter in this. You know, what are we giving up? Like, what does it look like? Is a fourth of the schedule going there?
So long as LeBron James is playing in the NBA, I guess you gotta send whatever team he's playing for to one of the Nashville games, right? Because think about it. What's the reaction going to be if LeBron plays again next year and brings himself to FedEx Forum?
This would be your fault though. You offered up the Cleveland game.
LeBron's going to Cleveland?
I don't think it's a 0.0. If he goes back to Cleveland,
there's no way, Jim.
You offered, and then you just did on the air. You offered up the Cavs game.
There's no way LeBron shows up to play basketball at FedEx Forum next year. There's no way, right?
I'm gonna say yes because he said dumber things. Like he did. He did also say like we. If you go against his business interests, you should lose the right to the First Amendment. Like, remember when he was trying to get movies made in China?
Yeah, right. Like, I'm sure he's not scared of Memphis, nor should he be, because that just like feeds the perception or whatever. But like, come on, man. Like, there's no way he says what he says, knowing full well that he's got to go and play basketball.
Well, I mean,
he's either going to be load managing or retired the next time the Lakers are scheduled to come to FedEx.
Or he was going to Cleveland and they'd already worked out the deal. They heard that Cobb was going to offer up the Cavs game and now he's going to Cleveland. That game's going to be played in Nashville. Let's go to Quentin. Quentin, you're on. How you feeling?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Great conversation.
Appreciate you calling in, man.
I'm originally a Memphian, but I lived in L.A. for years. I lived in the Inglewood area. And I've seen this conversation with Sacramento. Jeff, I think you lived in Cali for some years,
yep,
too. But I was out there when right after the early 2000 group in
the Maloofs, the people that owned the Palms.
Right,
yeah,
right,
the Maloof family.
Right. Because they owned a hotel in Vegas, the Rio, I think it was called. But
Palms,
anyway,
they own the Palms. Yeah, or they did. I don't know if they still do.
Yeah, I don't think they do anymore. But that being said, there was whispers, and I don't think this made national news, but there were whispers about the Kings leaving SAC. And I don't know if you remember that.
The new arena, I believe, is like in front of David Stern Way, because Stern basically was like, they're not doing that. We're keeping the team in Sacramento, and obviously Sacramento had to pony up for the new arena. But yes, the Maloofs were trying to move the team to Vegas.
Right, and so here's my point. Look, the Grizz ain't going nowhere. Memphis is going to keep the team. And everyone's saying the same thing. Memphis is a regional city. And, you know, look, culturally, I don't think people realize how influential this city is. From a cultural aspect, we know through hip hop, and just culture that, like I said, Memphis is very influential. The NBA does not want to lose, and they are going to make sure that the Grizz stay here. That being said, I would love to have a preseason game or a game in St. Louis and in Little Rock. I think that's something that, and I'm sure the front office, you know, as a business model is looking at that. I would go as far west as maybe, you know, Shreveport, if you will. I mean, anything within a 6 to 7 hour radius is Memphis. Is this is culturally the capital of the Mid South. And when I say Mid South, that includes the far outer reaches, 6 to 7 hour drive in any direction. Memphis is a very influential city. Now, the elephant in the room is, gentlemen, and I'm going to leave my call on this, there's a racial aspect to this. This is the largest, quote, minority, you know.
It's the largest black city, black city in the NBA. Yes.
Yeah. And I would imagine for professional sports. And, you know, so Memphis is going through a transition. And I lived, and like I said, I lived in L.A. when L.A. went through its transition, because South Central and Inglewood and all that, and even Compton does not look the same when I was there. And that was about 12, 13 years ago. So this is a transitional period. I think, you know, the city's going to be all right. And Jeff, I do like the analogy that you said about, you know, the old lady, you know, maybe thinking about going on a date with the old college ex. That's where Memphis is. Memphis has to get out of its comfort zone, if you will. But, you know, I think when the dust settles, it'll be all right.
Quentin, we appreciate the phone call, my man. Thank you.
No problem.
Let's take two more on this, and then we will take a break. Let's go to Dave in Knoxville. Dave, you're on.
Hey, Jeffrey, how you doing?
Doing well, my man. What's on your mind?
So I was listening to your conversation this morning, and I I'm also an Ole Miss guy, so I was listening to your conversation with Chase and Neil, and I think everything you said about, you know, Nashville and the building of the football stadium and all the taxpayer dollars, I totally agree with that. But it got me thinking, can Memphis and the Grizzlies really use the excuse of, you know, Bridgestone has a hockey team that, are you sure that they're going to want to split time with an NBA team? I mean, I got to thinking, I mean, Chicago does it, Boston does it, New York does it. I mean, other teams in other cities definitely use.
Most of those examples you gave, though, like, so let's use the Blackhawks. Reinsdorf owns both. Kings, no. But a lot of those are that share tenants are owned by the same people.
No, that totally makes – I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, I just got thinking about that because I was like, I don't know. I mean, I agree. I think they need to stay in Memphis, but – and I, like Quentin said, I love your analogy of not letting it go with the X, you know. But I just think if you're holding on to that hope, I just don't know if that's the
– Oh, no, no. The right plan. I'm not saying it's a 0.0, but I think there are also a lot of political complications as well. Like,
totally agree with that. Flipping and not.